This is the news and talk of Nevada. Now, Nevada Outlook, a discussion of Northern Nevada issues on News Talk 780 KOH.
Good morning, I'm Daniela Cennino, and welcome to Nevada Outlook. Today we're talking with Amy Berry from the Tahoe Fund about the new Tahoe Ambassador Program that started on Memorial Day weekend. They're folks that are getting out around Tahoe to talk to visitors about how to leave Tahoe like you found it and to pack it in and pack it out. Amy Berry with the Tahoe Fund. There's this really cool program you guys just kicked off to get people to, bottom line, pick up their garbage and pack it in, pack it out.
You know, there's a lot of new people recreating in the outdoors, and they just haven't grown up being educated on what's the appropriate behavior. So the goal of this new program, Take Care of Tahoe Ambassadors, is to put people out in high-use recreation sites to be very friendly, welcoming, and informative. And they will help educate people as they show up at trailheads or busy beaches to help people understand what the right thing to do is. Because I do think at the end of the day, everybody wants to do the right thing. We just have to make sure we're educating folks on what that right thing is.
There's some other things that people may not even consider. Like, you know, you see that really cool lily growing over there in the middle of that vegetation. You may be stepping on something that is trying desperately to grow out there when you go off the trail. There's other things besides just leaving garbage, right?
Yeah. So I think there's, you know, some fundamental things to know when you're going to be in Tahoe. So one is stay on the trails for sure. Two, if you bring your dog, make sure you're in a spot that's either that you know has to have your dog leashed or that they can be free. Definitely bring poop bags so that you can pick up after your dog and make sure those poop bags make it back into a garbage can, which might not be at the trailhead. You might have to hook it on the back of your car and drive it to the nearest garbage can. Drink Tahoe tap is a big one. People don't realize, but the tap water in Lake Tahoe is absolutely amazing. It won a national award for being the best tasting tap water in the country. It comes right out of the lake. And so you don't have to buy plastic water bottles. Bring a reusable water bottle and fill it up at the tap for sure. I think wildlife is a big one for folks, just knowing that we live in nature, and so do the bears and other animals. So we have to be really careful about our garbage and our food. You know, if we leave food out, the bears are going to come eat it. So we've got to be careful to put our garbage where it needs to be. You know, if you see a bear, give it lots of space. If you see a mama bear, give it even more space, I would say. Not that bear encounters are that frequent. People shouldn't be afraid to go out on the trails because of bears, but they should just be bear aware and smart. And I think given the drought and the high temperatures, everybody has to be really smart about fire safety. It doesn't take much to start a fire, and it would just expand, and it would be devastating. So being really smart, you know, there's no fires allowed in the basin right now. You can't have a charcoal grill. So just be really cognizant of what the rules are right now and be respectful of your time in Tahoe and helping us take care of it while you're here enjoying it.
Yeah, in fact, let's go back to the bears. We just had one of our local videos on the South Shore go national. Everybody picked it up. Where I guess last weekend, some people were enjoying the beach and on the South Shore, and the mom and the cubs got right down and right into a picnic basket. What was this Yogi and Boo Boo?
You know, that video is so strange because usually when you see a mama bear and cubs, she's not very friendly. You know, if you're around, she gets very defensive. And so the fact that they just cruised right through all those people, got in the lake and got out and there was no conflict is pretty remarkable, but also kind of wondering like, what's happening there? But maybe it's just so hot in Tahoe that even the bears are jumping in. I saw a video yesterday of a deer swimming in Lake Tahoe too. So everybody's
cooling off. Deers like to take a dip too, right?
Yeah. So I'd say if you're at the beach and you see a bear, just give it some space for sure.
All right. And let's talk about those people that like to take it out into the backcountry. Everybody comes here to do that Flume Trail, or they're maybe going on that the Pacific Coast Trail, or whatever the case may be. There's a lot of desolation in our area that people like to explore. And it's crucial that when you get out into that spot that you're not finding bits of, you know, wrappers and old banana peels and things like that. Talk a little bit about Leave No Trace.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are these guiding principles, leave no trace principles. You know, they use this term, pack it in, pack it out. I have to wonder myself if people even understand what that means. I mean, basically it means whatever you bring with you into the nature or into the backcountry, you have to plan to bring it back out with you when you leave. So, and that includes, you know, I see orange peels and banana peels out in the backcountry, and we don't have orange trees or banana trees in Tahoe. They're not native. So don't leave your orange peels and banana peels out. They'll stay around for a long time, and they might attract wildlife.
We're talking with Amy Berry with the Tahoe Fund about the new ambassador program funded by the Tahoe Fund that's going to send out about 50 people, right, over on the weekend to key points.
Yeah,
where are they
really
going to be
remarkable.
At?
I mean, we're one of the funders, but we're doing the easy part. We're helping fund it, and we bought some uniforms so everybody's matching, but it's going to be over 75 different ambassadors out all along the region, and it's a great collaboration. So the Tahoe Rim Trail has volunteers out at trailheads, and if anybody wants to be involved, you can contact the Rim Trail and become an ambassador. The Lake Tahoe Bicycle Coalition had some folks out in June during Bike Month. North Lake Tahoe Resort Association is getting some ambassadors together, the town of Truckee. And then the program that's really neat as well is in South Lake Tahoe through the high school and the city of South Lake Tahoe. They're actually employing bilingual high school students to be ambassadors at hotspots around the city of South Lake Tahoe, so at most of the major beaches down there. And it's really exciting. You know, it's an opportunity for us as a community to be very welcoming and informative to our visitors. And hopefully through these one-to-one interactions, we can help get the word out on the ways that you should behave when you're in a place like Lake Tahoe. The number one thing to know about trail etiquette is we like to say, blaze a trail of kindness. Just be kind when you're out there. That's kind of number one. But, you know, there's a few rules, you know, that bikers have to give way to hikers, although you often see hikers just step off the trail when bikes are coming up just out of kindness. If you're riding a bike, uphill has right of way over downhill, mostly because if you get off your bike riding uphill, it can be really hard to get back on it. So if you're coming down a hill and you see people coming up, you got to step to the side and let the bikes finish climbing before you come down. You know, dogs is a big one we see on trails. So trail etiquette with a dog is obviously make sure your dog is under control. If you can't have them under voice command, make sure they're on a leash. And of course, pick up all their poop. We don't want to have trails of Tahoe littered with dog poop everywhere. It's just gross. Not to mention the toxins from the dog poop leach into the water that we drink. But I think in general, when you head out on the trails, just blaze a trail of kindness. Be nice out there. Everybody's just trying to have a good time.
How long have you guys been putting together this ambassador program?
It came together really quickly. A number of the organizations I mentioned started working on it this winter. They reached out to the Tahoe Fund for funding support. And then we were able to get everybody together and said, hey, why don't we do one big ambassador program instead of all these other ones so that it feels consistent across the region. And everybody said, absolutely, let's do it. The Take Care program seemed like the perfect umbrella because we already have it out there and it has fun, informative, friendly messages. So Tahoe Fund was very happy to help step up, fund the different programs with some other partners, and then fund the uniforms so that everybody looks consistent while they're out there. I'd say in the last 2 months, everything came together. So it'll be really exciting to see how it goes and what we learn and what we can do to improve.
When do they hit the trail?
They're out there already. They launched Memorial Day weekend, and they've just been growing. And I know everybody needs extra volunteers, so if you're interested, let us know. I'd say definitely approach the Tahoe Rim Trail. I think they're in the need of the most volunteers to have folks out there. It's TahoeRimTrail.org.
Amy Berry with the Tahoe Fund talking about the new ambassador program to teach people that are out recreating all around Lake Tahoe about, you know, the proper etiquette on the trail, leave no trace, how to respect wildlife and nature, and to pack it in and pack it out, right?
Absolutely. You got it. I mean, have fun out there and just know that everybody else is trying to have fun, too. And the more you take care of Tahoe, the better better time everybody will have.
I'm Daniela Cennino, and this is Nevada Outlook.
The news and talk of Nevada. This is Nevada Outlook on News Talk 780 KOH.
Hi, it's Jim Fannin. Thanks for joining us again on Nevada Outlook, our public affairs program. Today, we're talking about family caregiving and some proposals that could help. All right, we're talking with Bill Sweeney. We are so delighted to be with you. He's the Senior Vice President of Government Affairs at AARP, and we're talking about a We're talking about an issue we have talked about before, and it's the people who are family caregivers. And at ARP, that's a big concern because it takes a lot out of families when they have to deal with people and help people that they love. And it costs money, it costs time, it causes stress. Now, ARP, Bill, has done a study about some of this. What is the talk about the family caregiver and what they really do.
Well, thanks. There are about 48 million of us in the country who are doing some kind of family caregiving, and we may not always think of it that way, but this is work that ranges from, you know, driving mom or dad to the doctor's office, or making sure that bills get paid, maybe cleaning the house, maybe helping people bathe or get dressed. And many caregivers are doing pretty, you know, complex medical tasks that they're probably not trained for and didn't know they were going to end up doing, but have to pitch in. And so we really think of this at AARP as the backbone of our long-term care system. You know, the vast majority of us want to stay in our homes. We want to stay in our communities as we get older. And family caregivers are the folks who make that happen. So they provide a tremendous service to our country, and we're so thankful for them. But it is a real sacrifice of time, of energy, of physical and emotional stress. And what we found in this new report, a really tremendous financial sacrifice as well.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing all these jobs and tasks to keep your family together and keep your loved one in the home. And at the same time, many of these folks that are doing the caregiving are working either full or part-time, and that just adds to the strain.
It's tremendous what people are juggling right now in terms of their work, working, you know, trying to stay afloat in the middle of this pandemic, taking care of loved ones. We really also sort of know about we call them the sandwich generation, right? The Gen X and millennials especially, who are not only taking care of their older parents, but also taking care of young children. And so they're really being squeezed. And it's very hard for families right now to try to keep it all together. So I think it's the folks who are doing this are real heroes.
Yeah, the younger people who are having to do this, in many cases, have not established themselves financially. When you're younger, you're not in the position of the older folks like us, Bill, who've, you know, had a long career, put away a little dough. In many cases, these millennials and Gen Xers are really facing a struggle financially.
That's absolutely right. And it's what we found in our report, that the Gen X generation is spending the most money out of pocket of all the generations on caregiving. But Gen Z and the millennials, the younger folks, are spending the highest proportion of their incomes on caregiving for adults in their families. So this is a real strain, and it does lead to long-term financial implications. We found during the pandemic especially, people started to stop contributing to their 401ks. They reduced how much money they were saving for retirement. And that means, especially when you're younger, the amount of money that you're going to lose from doing that is really, really tremendous. So we're fighting really hard for some new legislation that we hope will help families keep a little bit of their tax dollars in their pockets to help defray some of these extraordinary costs.
And we're talking with Bill Sweeney, Senior Vice President of Government Affairs at ARP. And of course, ARP does provide, you know, advice and assistance and counseling and peer groups and things like this. But that only goes so far. Is there something that we can do to help out these caregivers stay financially stable and keep going?
Absolutely. Well, we're fighting for legislation that's moving in Congress right now. It's bipartisan. It's called the Credit for Caring Act. It has Republicans and Democrats supporting it in both the House and in the U.S. Senate. We hardly ever get to say that anymore. So it's a great opportunity for us to show that caregivers are important, that they are the backbone of our system. The tax credit would provide a $5,000 credit for families who are working, who are trying to juggle this stuff, and to help defray the costs of, you know, hiring a home health aide or doing home modifications, you know, installing a safety rail in the bathroom, that kind of stuff, so that those costs really, really add up. We found in our study that we released yesterday, the average family spends about $7,200 per year on those kinds of caregiving costs. And for most people, that's about a quarter of their entire household income.
So a tax credit, it's not a subsidy, and it won't cover all your costs, but it could help.
You're 100% right. Not only is it great for families, right, because they get to keep a little bit of their own money back in their pockets, but it's good for taxpayers, too, because when you think about the service that family caregivers are providing, they're helping their loved ones stay in their homes and in their communities, which is where we want to be when we get older, and staying out of expensive nursing homes. And so we have a choice in this country, right? We can either support people at home or we can pay for them in an expensive nursing home. And so I hope that we choose the option that most of us want, which is to stay at home and to get a little help for our families who are spending so much money out of pocket to take care of us.
Now, you talked about folks spending as much as $8,500. This is even more when you're talking about someone who's dealing with dementia.
That's right. We found that dementia and Alzheimer's disease really have the highest out-of-pocket costs. And it's, you know, this is a terrible diagnosis that families all struggle with. But to then also struggle with almost, you know, $9,000 a year caregiving cost is just a really hard thing to swing. So we really do think it's important that especially those family members get some financial assistance, some financial relief from these growing costs.
Let's talk a little bit about what AARP does to help out as well, besides advocating for this tax credit, which is called, again, the Credit for Caring Act, tax credit of up to $5,000 to eligible caregivers. Talk about some of the other support systems AARP has in place. I know that's not directly your focus, but help us out.
Well, it is, because as a caregiver, I've actually used these resources because they're so helpful. You know, almost nobody actually thinks they're going to be a caregiver. We all probably will be at some point, and we're probably going to need some care at some point. But almost nobody really plans ahead the way we should. And so we have some tremendously great resources on our website. They're free. People of all ages can access them. It's aarp.org/caregiving. And, you know, it includes stuff like how to take note and how to put together your expenses, how to make sure that you have things like your wills and insurance information available, and that you're having, frankly, those conversations that are tough with your parents, with your kids, long before you need to have those conversations, because the time to do it is before you need it. If you wait till that call comes that says, you know, you've got 48 hours to figure out where to go when you're being discharged from the hospital, it's way too late. So think about those conversations now. I know it's uncomfortable, but it's certainly not as uncomfortable as waiting till the last minute.
That sure isn't. Anything else you want to add, Bill, to kind of tie this all up for us and kind of focus us on this problem?
Well, again, I think it's surprising that 48 million of us are doing some kind of caregiving. And I think most people are just kind of, they're so busy and exhausted, they don't have time to raise their voice about this. But we really do hope that people will take an opportunity not only to get the resources we have, but to get involved at our website, aarp.org/caregiving. Get involved in this fight. Call on your members of Congress and your senators to help us pass the Credit for Caring Act and help people put a little bit more money in their pockets to do this very important and wonderful work that they're doing.
Yeah, and Bill, as great as a tax credit is, this is bipartisan, and there's compromise here. Everybody's not going to get what they want out of this Credit for Caring Act, are they?
Right. I mean, it is a compromise. It is something that we've worked together to make sure that we can, get support from both parties, and that it's financially responsible, that it's targeted to the folks who really need it. But I do think this is a an opportunity. We're having conversations now in Congress that we haven't had for a long time about caregiving and about the infrastructure of care in this country. We've seen, I think, during the pandemic, some real failures in our long-term care system. So I'm excited that we are starting these conversations. We might actually have an opportunity to pass something like this and to help people save some of their money.
Bill Sweeney, Senior Vice President of Government Affairs at AARP, thank you so much for being with us on Nevada Outlook.
On air, online, on demand. News Talk 780 KOH.